do want to thank you all for coming today.
Have you had a good time?
Yes.
You never knew these North myths were so interesting, did you? And you've got acquainted with all these characters. I think now when you go to the movies, you'll be a little disappointed. Especially if it's the Marvel Universe, because, boy, what stories we've heard. We have one more teller tonight, and she is very special, because it was her vision that got us going and doing epic storytelling programs. I remember she stood up and she said, why don't we tell a story from beginning to end, a long story. And a couple years ago, we did The Wondersmith and His Son, which was an Irish Celtic tale. And we did the Kalevala at the old Nordic Heritage Museum before they moved and became the Nordic Museum a couple of years ago. This spring, we took on the challenging task of 1,001 Nights, which was 30-some tellers over 2 days. You think your seats are tired. But tonight, she's going to tell our last story. And before she starts, I'd like her to step forward, and I would like everybody to give her a very big hand. Allison Fox. Allison is going to tell us the story of Who Owns the Land.
So you've heard that Norse myths are not for the faint of heart. But perhaps we'll end on a gentler note. This story comes from two sources, the poetic Eddas, as you heard, came out of Iceland, which came out of Scandinavia, and also a book called The Storyteller's Goddess by Carolyn McGiver Edwards. Ottar was walking along through the woods, as he often did every morning, and he got to his favorite part, you know, that part of the path that ran alongside the river. Usually in the morning he would listen to the river's song, and he would stop and catch a fish for his breakfast. But on this morning, when he got to his favorite spot, he looked down and there was blood on the path. And so he started to follow, because he could see where something heavy had been drug along the pathway. You could see the drag lines in the dirt, and as he leaned forward, his long red braids hung before him. He followed it all the way to the edge of his land and around behind some briars, and there he found a deer, a carcass, freshly killed, only the choice pieces of meat taken and the rest of it left to rot. And he knew right away who had done this, because as he stood up, he said, "Angantyr!" And he started to head towards the clear cut that marked his neighbor's land. And just as he got to the edge of it, he caught his foot, and all 6 foot and more of him fell over like a great tree. And when he looked back to see what he had tripped on, well, he saw that there were young trees underneath leaves that had been buried, the stumps. Someone had been cutting along his property to make the edge of the land of his neighbors wider and wider. And he knew it was Angantyr. He had told Angantyr, "Do not cut all the trees on your land. The spring rains will wash down the hillside." And Angantyr had said, "You keep your worries to your own land, Ottar." And so they'd been back and forth to each other ever since. Well, he was not going to settle for this. He was going to stop him. And so with long strides, he started to head toward the village, because today was All Thing, the day that all the villagers came together and they did business with each other, and they would arbitrate any differences, and he knew that Angantyr would be there in the thick of it. Well, when Ottar burst out of the bushes into the village clearing and started to yell, well, he caught everyone's attention, because usually Ottar was shy and retiring. Even though he was so large with red hair and bright blue eyes, he was a quiet man. But here he was saying, "Angantyr is stealing from my land." And so people began to gather around and say, "Ottar, what happened? And where did you find this?" And he told them everything. Angantyr was tall also, and he just pivoted on his staff and looked over the heads of the shorter people there and said, I know nothing about these deer parts littering your property, but it seems that I am the one who was wronged, for that is my land you describe. Your land, said Otar. Your land? If it was yours, I'd steal it from you so you wouldn't ruin any more of it. And that being said, he grabbed a staff from one of the onlookers, flipped it up in his hand, and started to circle around the fire pit. Well, Angantyr just stood his ground and said, you better stop this right now, Otar. And then they heard, you both will stop. And everyone parted as an old woman started to hobble down through the crowd. She had long white braids past her waist. She was bundled up, dressed in all kinds of furs. She had one eye that was good, and the other eye was blue and glazed over. She was the Volva, the arbiter of right ways of living and the priestess of Freya. And so she made her way through the crowd, and she went and stood immediately between those two big men, and she gave them both a sharp look and went. And down to the ground they sank to their knees and bowed their heads. Right there. And then she put her hands on their shoulders, and she closed her good eye and began to peer out through that glazed eye, and she chanted. And then she was silent and she shivered. And then she spoke. The goddess says that he who can chant the lineage, who has lived on their land the longest, will be the true owner of the land. And then she broke contact with them and started to hobble her way out of the crowd, and she called over her shoulder, come back here at the full moon, and then we'll see whose land it is. Well, as soon as she walked away, everybody started to buzz and talk. Oh, Angantyr is sure to win, said one. He is sharp of his mind. He is sharp of wit. And the other says, but Otar loves the land the most. It doesn't matter, said a third, what Otar loves or not. It's whoever has the longest list of true names. Otar could not listen to this. He had to get out of there, and he started to make his way home, trudging along. I mean, whenever he came upon debate, words flew out of his mind, and even if he came across a beautiful woman, he could not think of a word to say. And how was he able to debate with Angantyr, who could talk his way through solid rock? He trudged along until he heard, take heart, Otar. And he turned, and there he saw, sitting on a stump at the side of the path, was the Volva. She said, Otar, pray to the goddess to help you. The good Freya, she will help you protect the land. Well, Otar, he was in the presence of the Volva. He looked down, and he was trying to think of what to say, and when he finally looked up again, she was gone. But in his simple heart, he decided to take those words and follow them. So when he got back to his land, he went to the cairn he had built, piled up rocks, and he built a fire there. And then he got a freshly caught fish, and he put that on the fire. For the fish is sacred to Freya. Now, as a Catholic, I thought that they came up with fish on Friday. But this is Freya's Day Friday. And that's where it started. And so as the smoke carried upwards, it took his plea of, please, help me protect my land. And then he felt a breeze. And he heard leaves rustle. And he heard a voice say, I will help you, Otar. And he looked around, and then he looked up, and there, floating down, was a woman in a cape covered with feathers. It seemed that each feather rose and lowered as if of its own volition. And as she lowered down, the moment that her foot touched the ground, well, the strawberry plant grew up and bloomed right there before him. Freya, he said. Yes, it is I, Otar. And I have come to help you so that you can speak against Angantyr at the full moon. Well, Otar could not believe it. I mean, he couldn't even look at beautiful women. And here before him was the goddess of love. And he saw her hair was all the colors of firelight. He saw the line of her chin down to her neck and the rise of her breasts, and he immediately bowed down before her. "Rise up, good man," she said. "I'm going to take you up to meet the giantess Hyndla, for she reads the records of time, and she can tell you all of those who have lived on the land before you." But Ohtar could not bring himself to get up, and finally Freya said, "Never mind, stay still," because as she looked across at his broad back, it gave her an idea. And so she reached forward, and just at the moment that she touched the top of his ruddy head, suddenly lightning filled his body, and he began to feel himself shift, and muscles and bones and sinews began to realign themselves. He was larger and shorter and wider, and when he tried to speak, it seemed like there was too many teeth in his mouth, and all he could say was, "Whoa!" And Freya laughed, and for some reason that calmed him. She said, "It's all right, Ohtar, for I've turned you into a great boar. You're too big for me to fly with in my feather cape, so now I will ride you up the mountain to see the giantess Hyndla." She said, "Besides, she's not too fond of humans, and so it's probably better that you're in this shape so that she doesn't eat you." And Ohtar began to roll his eyes and paw at the ground. But Freya, she just grabbed a hold of his ruddy fur that now covered his whole body, swung her leg over, settled down and tightened her legs, and Ohtar trembled with fright and delight. And so up and up and up they climbed into the night. Ohtar had no idea how long they'd been going up that mountain path, but now he had this great big snout that, oh, was smelling such wonderful things. He was smelling, oh, dirt that just wanted him to come dig in it, and mushrooms to eat, and truffles, oh, truffles. And then Freya would pat his side and urge him on, and then he'd have to remind himself, "Oh, I'm a man, changed into the shape of a boar, being ridden by a goddess, and going to meet a giantess." And then he'd start to tremble all over again. Well, he had no idea how long they'd been going when finally Freya said, "Stop." And Ohtar looked up, and there they were before the maw of a great cave. And, oh, whatever was in there smelled loathsome. But he wanted to back away, but then he looked behind him and he realized they were on a cliff's edge, and he knew to fall off that cliff would be his death. So he was trapped. But Freya, she seemed to not have a care at all. She slid off his back and said, "Wake up, Hyndla. Wake up, dear giantess, for it is the hallowed time. It is night. Come with me. Let's ride to Valhalla together." And Ohtar heard, and he saw that the fire began to go from a coal to a low burning fire, and he could see there was something massive laying next to it. And then he heard, "I am here. What do you want, Freya?" "Come, come with me, for there has been a wager amongst the men as to who owns the land. And so I am riding to Valhalla and to Asgard, and I am going to ask Odin to bless Ohtar, who has asked for my help. So come, mount one of the great wolves from your stable, and together we'll ride and we'll joust words with each other to see who knows the most about the lineage of the lordly races of the men." Again, Ohtar heard, and this time the fire grew to be crackling and large, and the giantess got up on her knees, and she was already over 10 feet tall, and it sent shadows of her on the cave, and as Ohtar looked at her, he could see that her skin and her eyes and her hair were all the same color as the mud on the wall. Her hair drug all the way to the ground, and it had bits of leather and shells and feathers and sticks and stones tied into it. And her nose was as big as Ohtar's boar snout. Her mouth looked as if it was torn into her face. And as he stared at all those pointed teeth in her mouth, he realized two things. She was dressed entirely in the furs from boar skins, and she was staring right at him.
"Where did you get this boar, Freya? Slowly he came up the path. My wolves would tire of such a pace."
"Oh, he belongs to my brother Frey," she said. "Come, Hindla, come. Come with me. Ride with me to Odin. I will ask him to bless you too." But Hindla only had eyes for that boar.
"Does not smell like boar. Smells more like human. And never have I seen blue eyes on a boar before. This is no boar. This is Otar. This is silly Otar who doesn't even know the lineage of his land."
"I think you've been in this cave too long," said Freya.
"Oh no, oh no."
And she sat back, that giantess, and crossed her legs and put some more wood on the fire.
"You should know better than to try to fool a seer, Freya. This is Otar. Otar who needs to know who lived on his land."
All right," said Freya, "it's Otar. So please recite the lineage of his land, because he needs to recite it at the full moon, and I have pledged to help him." So she sat there and she stared into the fire, that giantess, for a while. And then she pointed a gnarled finger at Otar and said,
"Listen, Otar, silly Otar, who does not know his own ancestors. For I will tell you that you are from Instinsbrot, and his mother was a great woman. She was a priestess. Lidis was her name. And did you know that Sigurd, the dragon slayer, was your forebearer too?"
And so she went on and on, reciting all those that had come before. She talked about sea kings and seafarers. She talked about the bodyguard of the king, about wild warriors, about blacksmiths, about folk rulers and landholders all.
"And there was the Skolfings and the Skeldings and the Englings and the Elfings. Would you know more, silly Otar?"
Well, poor Otar, he was trying so hard to pay attention, but stuck in this boar's body, his mind kept wanting to wander off on other things. And even as a human, he could not think to remember all this, and so he was rolling his eyes and pawing the ground, and Freya could see that he was having trouble. She said, "Hindla, give my boar the beer that you brew to help your memory. And that way he'll be able to recite all that you've told him at the full moon."
"I tire of this. You go now. I need to sleep."
And she started to lay down. "I need you to do this, and I need you to do it now."
"Go away. I've had enough."
"You will give us the beer that you brew, or you will never leave this cave again," said Freya, and at that, a ring of fire started to run around the giantess, and she jumped to her feet and started to screech and to stamp, and she said, "You will not leave unless you cooperate."
"And so I will give you the brew."
And so Freya lowered the fire halfway, and the giantess held out the bowl and passed it over to Freya. And Freya put it down before Otar, and he began to lap it up as fast as he could, more for a thirst for drink than a thirst for knowledge. And as soon as he was done, Hindla started saying,
"Oh, now you have to let me out, because I brewed that beer with venom, and he will die if you don't let me out now."
"He will do no such thing, Hindla, because I bless this brew, and it is a fine draught. And so now we will leave, but you can stay in this cave until you rot." And the flames went back up to lick the ceiling of the cave, and there was Hindla shrieking and stamping. But Freya, she simply grabbed a hold of that boar's fur, swung her foot over, settled down, and started to ride Otar down the mountain. And she patted his side, saying, "Don't worry, Otar. She hardly ever leaves her cave, so when the flames die down, she'll just go back to sleep." And Otar said, "Ugh!" Well, on the full moon, people came from miles around because the word had spread about this argument, this disagreement between Ohtar and Angantyr. And when Angantyr and Ohtar arrived, well, the buzz of excitement got the crowd talking even louder and louder until finally the Volva came and she held up her hand for silence. The goddess will hear you now. Angantyr, you will speak first. So Angantyr got up and he puffed out his chest and he recited 7 generations of those of his ancestors who had lived on his land before him. And when he finished, his friends cheered. And then the Volva said, Ohtar, it is your turn to speak now. And true to form, Ohtar started slowly and quietly and stumbling, but as he went on, he gained in volume and in momentum, and he recited 12 generations of those ancestors of his that had lived on his land. But then he stopped. There are more, but I would rather tell you of those generations that live on my land right now, that go all the way back to the beginning of time. And the people started to talk to each other. What is he talking about? Ohtar lives alone. He's making it up. What can he mean? He must have lost his mind. And the Volva held up her hand again. Silence. And she nodded to Ohtar to go ahead. And Ohtar said, I name the grasses and the flowers and the bees and the spiders, the minnows and the mole. I name the squirrel and the hare. I named the hawk and the eagle. Now I'm gonna count to 3, because there's much more to name. I want all of you to call out who else you think was living on that land. Ready? Uno, dos, tres. 1, 2, 3. That's right. They were all there. He talked about all the bushes, all the trees. He talked about the deer. He talked about the wolf. And the lynx, the bear, and of course, the boar. And when he was finished, just like now, everyone was silent. And he looked over at the Volva and with a toothless grin, she nodded his victory. And so that gentleman, he just got up and he walked out of there not looking back. And he went all the way to his land. And no sooner was he there than he heard Ohtar. And he looked and there was Freya, standing amongst a grove of young birch trees. She said, it seems that you did not need my help after all. Oh, he said, but goddess, I recited much further than Angantyr back the generations. Did you hear? Oh, yes, I heard, she said. But it seemed that it was the names of all the creatures and the other things that lived on your land that was the longest. Yes, he said, not even realizing that he is not dropping to the ground anymore or bowing. He's looking her in the eyes and saying, it's because of that night I spent as a boar. I remembered what I once knew, that the land belongs to all that live on it, to all of it. And so Freya walked up and she put her hand on his cheek. She said, that's right. It seems I have fulfilled my promise. And then did she just wrap herself in her feathered cape and fly off? Or did she call for her chariot pulled by the black cats with eyes that blink like the stars? Oh no. She slipped her hand into Ohtar's and said, Ohtar, show me some more of this land of yours. And together the two walked on into Ohtar's woods. So let's get the other storytellers up here. Come on, gang. Come on, tellers, everybody that told today, come on up. Thank you.
fail.
Okay, that's enough photos, photo takers? Got them?
Got us.
All right. We're down for posterity. Thanks again, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan.